And so, as usual on a Friday evening, we finish up with our album reviews. We'll be speaking about Future Islands, Darlings of the Indie Press, quartet described as Baltimore's most eccentric band. How eccentric is that, I wonder? They release album number 6 in what has been an adventurous career so far, and this new album is called As Long As You Are. Emmy the Great is the stage name of English and Chinese singer-songwriter Emma Lee Moss. Her latest album with lyrics in both English and Cantonese is called April, and it is out today as well, as is the 10-song collection by Scottish veterans Travis, which they have called 10 songs. Zara Hedeman and Simon Marr have been listening. A few minutes, we'll find out if they join the critical consensus on Baltimore band Future Islands. Here's a song from their new album, As Long As You Are. It's a track called For Sure. I know. Future Islands, there at an album called As Long As You Are, a track called For Sure, and Samuel T. Herring is the front man. And I was talking to Zara Hedeman, who's with me in studio here as we were listening to that. Simon Marr will be joining us down the line in a moment. Definitely, if I was going to choose a name from Future Islands, I'd go for Samuel T. Herring.
Yeah, absolutely, Sean. And I think as well, if you've seen Samuel T. Herring perform on stage, you'd also want to have some of his dance moves as well.
Oh, is that it? Yeah, Garrett Wellmers and William Cashin are the other two names that I think, Samuel T. Herring. Yeah. And what a voice that we were listening to there as well, Simon Marr.
It's an amazing voice. And you know, everybody talks about their first appearance that they made on the Letterman show, their famous appearance on the Letterman show in 2014. And that's when everybody got to see him for the first time. Everybody bar their hardcore fans got to see him, and the thumping of the chest and the growling and all of that stuff. And I have to admit, at the time I thought, this is all right stuff. And it's really taken me probably two or three albums to realise, geez, there's actually more to this than growling and incredibly good dance moves.
I don't know why you're all mentioning the dance moves to me. I don't know whether that's a reflection of my chair dancing on Friday evenings or not. They met, Wellmers and Herring met back in eighth grade in North Carolina. So they're school pals, essentially, Zara.
Yeah, absolutely. And the band have actually, even though they've only really kind of become critically lauded and I suppose household names with their 2014 album, they've been going for a really long time, and they actually were a different iteration called Art Lord and Self-Portraits, where they're a bit more experimental. Up to this point, this is their sixth album. Their sound has, I suppose, expanded slightly. What we heard there with For Sure, that is what they're known as, for those really big, really bright synth pop songs. Whereas I would have been a fan of them actually kind of in the earlier days, especially their 2010 album In Evening Air, where they kind of looked at the darker side of synth pop, which was really interesting. And kind of fortunately, they've gone back to that a bit more with this, because they're actually quite dissatisfied with their previous album, The Far Field, which was produced by John Congleton and also had Debbie Harry on it. But they were, you know, unhappy with how rushed deadlines and stuff for the recording.
Let's listen to another track on the current album then. This is Thrill.
Look like me and you. Did they hear me calling? Blue water, black rider, keep on rolling. Keep on riding.
Yeah, once again, the voice of the wonderfully named Samuel T. Herring to the fore in Thrill from Future Islands. Simon Marr, what kind of dance moves would he be doing to that kind of slower side of the Future Islands repertoire?
I think he would find some manner of physical tick that he would be able to use for this. But this stuff is dark. Like, he's got really, really dark on this. And what's amazing is, even though the voice and possible performance is paired back, he's so confident with his voice and the band are so confident with their sound. Like, the lovely synth and the bass on those tracks and right the way through the album is a real step up for them. And it's as if, and they've said it themselves, that they're much more comfortable with where they are now, but found themselves to be very comfortable in a really, really dark place.
And even in that dark place, you still get that synth pop feel in that track that we just heard, Zara, Thrill. And you and I were speaking about two other songs on the album, I Knew You and City's Face, which are a little bit further up or a little bit earlier on in the track listing. They've done something good then on this album, is what you're both saying, I think, Sarah.
Yeah, I think there is a definite return to form, if you want. I think as well, as Simon said, they're a lot more comfortable, and I think that that might have to do with the fact that also this is the first time that all of the band have co-produced an album. So they've had a bit more of an input into the sonic arrangements to it. I think everyone just sounds really brilliant and everyone is really complimenting each other on this song. And as you mentioned, actually, that song, I Knew You, which is a real, I think, for long-standing Future Islands fans, I think this album is actually going to be a pleasant surprise on just how they kind of meld their whole career together, because there's a bit of an Easter egg in that song where they mention their song Long Flight, which actually came from their 2010 album, and it revisits a breakup that Samuel T. Herring went through. And he's, you know, lyrically, he is a very fine lyricist. That's very much on show here, but he's, you know, he's biting, he's raw, he's very honest, and kind of complementing that is this like swirl of synths, which you don't really expect to kind of match that mood.
Stars from you, Zara.
I was really happy with this. I think it's very hopeful, especially in the end. So I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5.
One reviewer referred to Samuel T. Herring's voice on Thrill as if he was, quote, crying like a man being pulled through broken glass. Now, there's a dance move for you. If that's what he sounds like when he's being pulled through broken glass, well done, Samuel T. Herring. Stars from you, and comments, Simon Marr.
I really like this. I thought this was a particularly good album, and almost it's one of those things. It was a strikingly good album, and there's even from the very, very start, there's a line in it where he says, "Do I deserve to see the sea again?" And it's not even said in a self-pitying way. It's almost said like in a punishing and acceptance of, this is my lot now. This is what I'm getting. But it's great. So I'm going to give this a solid 4 out of 5 for me.
A solid 4 out of 5 from you. Future Islands, As Long As You Are. Let's move on then to album number 2 for consideration this evening. Emmy, the great stage name of Emma Lee Moss, born in Hong Kong to an English father and Chinese mother. I think her music, it's safe to say, reflects that duality, Zara.
Absolutely. And duality is the key word for this album, because even as we see, the album is called April forward slash and then it has Chinese script.
Yes, Cantonese characters.
Exactly, yes. Translates to moon sound, which is also quite integral, because she visited Hong Kong back in 2017 during the full moon season, and that really infiltrates the whole album, especially the anecdote about the goddess of the moon who drank an elixir to stop her debaucherous husband.
She drank an elixir to stop her debaucherous husband.
Yeah, so the story says, not Emmy.
The wife did.
So that really comes through in the album, and those Eastern influences really shine on this album.
And the duality, again, to use my producer's word, I do believe Olin McGowan gave me that word this evening. It has a double title, Dandelions and Liminal, or Dandelions stroke Liminal. Let's have a listen. Dandelions forward slash Liminal from Emmy the Great and her new album April. I was a little disappointed, Simon, that, you know, yes, there are the Cantonese influences there in some of the written characters in the song titles, or in song titles like Chang Cantonese-E. A little bit of perhaps a Cantonese sound in some of the songs, but essentially the lyrics and the quality of the song, very Western.
Oh God, I think, yeah, very definitely so. And I think she has said herself that this is an album about a visit and a return, because she had lived in China until she was 12 and then obviously come. And I think she's got a Chinese mum and an English dad, but then had come and spent a lot of time in New York. And her previous albums were all about the usual stuff, growing up in New York, meeting people, you know, life in New York, all that. But she went back to Hong Kong then for an autumn festival, you know, as Zara had mentioned earlier on. And then, the songs are supposed to be a snapshot in time. And I think what she was trying to say, even with the album itself, is look, this is me. This isn't me as I maybe would be regarded as, or people would like me to be. This is me as an Hong Kong as I found it. And she says, look, I found this at a time when she was just about to have her first baby, little Riri. And before you had the big anti-government protests and the anti-extradition protests, you know, that happened in Hong Kong as well, and obviously pre-COVID as well. And it's a real snapshot in time album. And I think that's what I like about it.
All right. Let's maybe listen to the opening track, which gives us more of a sense of that non-Western side of her character. The opening track there, Mid Autumn, from Emmy the Great's new album, April. And I was saying as we were listening to that, I wanted much more of that style, that Chinese and Hong Kong and Cantonese side of her character. I wanted more of that in the album than I got, Zara.
Oh, same, Sean. I couldn't agree with you more. I think in those moments, the soundscape is so interesting. And that song in particular, I think, just sounds like it's steeped in history and heritage. Mm. You have stuff like the prayer bells and the singing bowls throughout. And I think that even her voice, when she does allow the instrumentation to meander and to evolve, it's so much more immersive. It's really rich. And her voice, I just becomes this really lovely spectral quality to it, yeah, which I became a lot more captivated by. I found some of the stuff a bit saccharine sometimes and a bit twee.
Sometimes like there was a touch of the Glen Campbell's, not that that's a problem, but it's a very different side than what we just heard.
Well,
there.
I think part of that is in recent years, Emma Leigh Moss has been writing for stage, film, and TV. So her approach to music, and I think her approach to building a world and telling a story, there's a lot more ceremony to it. Mm. And I think that sometimes that is actually too a bit of a disadvantage, because what we had there is just so beautiful and captivating.
Stars from you on that one, Zara.
I really loved that. That kind of style. So I'm going to go with a 3, because I did find this quite a frustrating listen, because I wasn't getting exactly what I wanted from it.
Are you with us on that, Simon, or were you happy with what you got from Emmy the Great?
I love that we're demanding. It's the way it should be. This is what I want. No, I enjoyed this. I thought April was good. So I think it's worthy of 3.5.
You think it's worthy of 3.5. Well, you're going to call yourself Emmy the Great, then you're going to have to live up to that name, aren't you? So that's why we're being demanding, Simon. All right, so 3.5 from Simon for Emmy the Great and April, and 3 from Zara here in studio. Let us move on then to our final album. Scottish band Travis, constantly raised, or rained on, is what they say. Quite a legacy. Latest album is called 10 Songs. It's a collection of, 10 songs, comprising their 9th album, just to confuse things. Here's one of those 10. It's called The Only Thing.
Yeah. I love that lyric. You are the record in the record shop that nobody wants to buy.
I want to go in
and tick the record up and hug it and bring it home with me.
It's very sad.
Who was the female vocalist that we were hearing with Travis on that song there? Oh, The Only Thing,
that,
Zara.
That was Susanna Hoffs from the Bangles. And I think the interplay between her and Fran Healy actually works very well on this instance. And there's a part on that song, there's a really gorgeous pedal steel that comes in and it's played by Greg Lees, who's worked with Beck and Bruce Springsteen. What I really liked about this album is that while we had that very romantic, very soft arrangement, they do actually deliver a lot of different kind of sounds and styles. You know, there's kind of traces of like 70s Californian stuff. At times they kind of channel hardcore Beatles era, which is actually, I think, a kind of nice little bit of synchronicity that they've released this on what is John Lennon's 80th now.
What would have been his 80th birthday, indeed. But they're not reinventing the wheel here, neither in the album title 10 songs with 10 tracks on it, nor in the music, I would hazard to say. Simon, would you agree with me?
You are absolutely right, Sean. No, there's no reinvention about this. I was thinking about this album as I was listening, and as the song was playing, I was writing down that you were the record in the record shop, no one wants to buy lyric, because I want to remember that for the future. And I'm thinking, did I really, really enjoy this album because of the times that we're in, and perhaps it won't age well? And I think no. I think it's just, it is 1999. This album is really being released, even though it's 21 years later, and it sounds like it's 1999. But that's a really nice thing to have just now. And I was extremely surprised at how much I enjoyed this album.
And you were saying too, Zara, that it sent you back to their back catalogue, and maybe as far back as the second album, Man Who, released in 1999, did it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it just kind of reminded me as well just how massive this band are and their credentials. And, you know, they worked extensively with Nigel Godrich, who's obviously worked a lot with Radiohead. But what I thought was actually really nice, I couldn't stop listening to the song Turn. And to listen to that song and then listen to this, the growth is really nice, because, you know, their worldview has changed. These aren't defined youngsters in their mid-20s. They've lived experience, and I think they reflect that quite well, actually, in this album.
Stars from you, Zara.
I really enjoyed this a lot more than I expected, so I'm going to go for a 3.
A 3, and what are you saying, Simon Marr?
Yeah, I think it's, as Zara's absolutely right on this one. I really enjoyed it too, and it's well worth a listen. Dump your last bunch of Coldplay and Keane albums, listen to this instead. You'll get more pleasure out of it. Yeah. So it's a good 3.
Don't let it be the record in the record shop that you didn't buy. 10 songs from Travis is the final album we spoke about this evening. Before that, we spoke about April from Emmy the Great and As Long As You Are from Future Islands. Some lovely reaction to our item with Philip Norman at the top of the programme about what would have been John Lennon's 80th birthday. Gosh, I read Philip Norman's shout about the Beatles when I was 12 years of age. Blew my mind, says Dave O'Grady, saying thanks. Thanks, Sean, for a great show on John Lennon. Another texter, and my favourite, Anne Bennett Bronson. I frequently like to imagine a world where the Beatles got back together. Joy, says Anne Bennett Bronson, and so say all of us. That is our lot for this evening. Leah Murphy and Paula Shields researched. Janice Furphy was the broadcast coordinator. Gar Duffy was on sound this evening. Tonight's programme produced by Olin McGowan. Talk to you Monday at 7.